You ready? Matthew 19:1. It says, "When Jesus had finished these words, he departed from Galilee and came into the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and asking, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all?' And he answered and said, 'Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate.' They said to him, 'Why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away?' And he said to them, 'Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery.' The disciples said to him, 'If the relationship of the man with his wife is like this, it is not is it better not to marry?' But he said to them, 'Not all men can accept the statement, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born that way from their mother's womb. There are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. There are also eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He was able to accept this. Let him accept it.'" So, Jesus is on his last journey to Jerusalem. He is leaving the area of Galilee and the area of the Gentiles that he had been in. He is coming down on the east side of the Jordan towards Jerusalem, entered into Judea, which is the area, the district that Jerusalem is in. This area is more sophisticated, educated, and so, and it is also more religiously regulated. So, it's cool that it says, as Jesus departed from Galilee, he came into this region, it said large crowds followed him. There's a great amount of popularity now, and momentum is building, right? And it says, and he healed them there. And then just goes on. You know, we've talked about how Matthew likes to, you know, pull things into categories. He is telling the story of Jesus in a loose chronological fashion. But he pulls stories together, and so, you know, he's gone over healings already. And here, by this time in Jesus' ministry, large crowds following him and him healing everybody is, yeah, there's stories, but whatever. You know, if I have time, I'll tell you later. You know, he's already got to the point where it's like, yeah, so Jesus heals all kinds of people and moves on. But all this is, in a strange way, endangering Jesus all the more, because the religious establishment has not accepted Jesus as the Messiah. They don't accept his teaching concerning the kingdom of heaven. They think that he is, therefore, a false prophet, false teacher. And his actions and teachings that make it clear that he thinks of himself as God Almighty is obviously a huge problem. So, but Jesus is far too slippery to have been, you know, caught yet. And the the establishment feels like they really need something really good and solid to nail Jesus down with, as it were. And so they have, as you know, we have read already, you know, occasionally sent people to ask Jesus questions to test him. It says the Pharisees came to Jesus testing him. It's in the Greek, it's the same word used for tempt. They are trying to get him to sin, to stumble, to screw up in some way that they can, you know, hold against him. So they ask him a question about divorce. And they say, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Now, the way that comes out in English is not exactly the way it sounds in Greek. The way it sounds in Greek is it cool to marry or to divorce a woman for every reason? You know, it sounds like in English, the way we would take that, we may very well take that as like, is there any reason at all? Any teeny, you know? But that's not what they're asking. They're asking, can you divorce a woman for any reason? Every reason. That's the phrase that they asked him. Because there were two lines of thoughts popular among the Jews of the time. Neither of them had a problem with divorce. So, you know, if you think, you know, if you thought that they were asking, is it okay to divorce? No, they don't have a problem with divorce. They know it's okay to divorce. They are asking how, you know, many various reasons can you divorce a woman? Because the two schools of thoughts were, well, on the one side, guys who said, it's okay to divorce if your wife has been unfaithful. If she has been unfaithful, then you can divorce her. Otherwise, you stay married. And they say, even if your wife is as bad as Jezebel, and she was bad, if she has not been unfaithful to you, you do not have the right to divorce her. That's what they said. The other school said, if your woman displeases you in any way, you may divorce her. So, the scripture, Deuteronomy 24, which they quote, then why did Moses command give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? You know, prior to that, in that verse, it says something to the effect of, you know, if you find displeasure in your wife or indecency. And so they said, well, how big is that? You know, much displeasure. What kind of displeasure? You know, after they thought about it for a while, they started to like the idea of it being any kind of displeasure. Any kind of displeasure at all. You know, if she doesn't clean the house right, and I find that I don't like that, then she's no longer pleasing in my eyes, and I can divorce her. And if, you know, she doesn't act right in public, I can divorce her. And if she burns the bread, I can divorce her. And if, and they even, I mean, like, these things are said specifically. If she is grown old and I no longer like the way she looks, they said this, you can divorce her. So, those are the two schools of thought. Guess which one was more popular? Yeah, the second one. That was a popular idea. That was, you know, yeah, you're probably right. We could divorce for any reason at all. And so when they came to Jesus, they're coming to Jesus not asking whether divorce is right or wrong. They are asking how broad a scope are the grounds on which you can divorce someone. That's what they're asking. So Jesus, instead of giving a list of things, instead he says, have you not read the scripture? And we're like, really, let's start from the beginning. He created them from the beginning, male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. So, I think what, you know, when Jesus answers them, I think essentially what he is doing is he's helping them to get back to God's original intention. You know, it's funny that they phrase, then why did Moses command that a man write a certificate of divorce? And Jesus is like, wow, there's something. He didn't command it. He allowed it. Like that whole way of thinking is your problem. The purpose, you know, Jesus says, now let's go back to the beginning. The purpose of God creating us, male and female, was to complete us. When man was alone, he was incomplete. When man was alone, creation was undone. It wasn't finished. God wasn't finished with the creation of humanity until he created woman. So the institution of marriage is a completing of God's design. And so the two become one, Jesus says. Two become one. He says, so how is it you think that you want a list of reasons to tear those apart? He's like, I'm not giving you a list of reasons. There was no, it wasn't God's intention that it happened. He built you so that you could live together as husband and wife. Not so that you could find a way to divorce. You know, we were at the doctor the other day. If you could ask a doctor, I imagine a conversation like this. You ask a doctor, doc, I had a question. When is it cool to cut your arm off? Doctor would be like, whoa, that's not cool at all, actually. Why would you ask that? Well, I was just thinking that, I'm not saying I'm going to cut my arm off, but, you know, if I was going to cut my arm off, when would it be right? What would be the right circumstances for me to cut my arm off? There are no right circumstances to cut your arm off. You were made with two arms for a reason. There's a reason you have two arms. Any reason is wrong. He says, well, you know, I know a guy. There was a guy. There, a rock fell on his arm. He was stuck there for a long time. And then, you know, he cut his arm off. And so now he doesn't have one arm. But, you know, that's cool, right? Well, okay, yeah. He cut his arm off. But that doesn't make cutting your arm off right. The man's now incomplete. He had to do what he did. It was necessary, but not right. And so, yeah. If you're looking like that, there's a problem. That's how they're looking at divorce. When is it right to split from my wife? Never. It's never right. It will leave you messed up. You will be incomplete. She will be incomplete. Does it happen? Is it necessary in certain circumstances? Yes. Under the best circumstances, the best people in the best circumstances are left. And I know some of us have been through this. And I think you would agree. Even in the best circumstances, you are left hurt. You are left with wounds. and you need healing. There is no right way. The purpose of marriage. God made us male and female. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, if you've been through premarital counsel with me, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, Paul quotes, which should sound familiar to you. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Whoa, Paul. That's heaven. He just quoted the same spot that Jesus quotes, where it's spoken of Adam and Eve. And Paul says, but you know what? The real point of that verse is not men and women, not husband and wife, but God and his beloved people. Dude, the purpose, the first purpose of marriage is that humanity would have a witness, a picture of how God loves his people. The verse that Mandy quoted, when God says, I am your husband. Again and again, you go through the scriptures, and God calls himself his people's husband, and they his beloved. Marriage was set up for the purpose that it would forever be the institution wherein people, primarily and first, your own children, could look up and see the faithful, unconditional love that exists between God and us. And for that reason, God intends marriages to last forever. I'm saying this. I know, and I believe the attitude of Jesus is this: that if the question is asked, is divorce right? I believe Jesus is saying plainly, no. And at the same time, he's saying, is there times when it's necessary? Yes. And he says that with a broken heart. Because it's not his intention, his purpose. It's not what he wants. Any more than a doctor wants to cut your arm off. But there's times when terrible things become necessary. Afterwards, the disciples. Now, you know, I'd like to think that this isn't the 12, but maybe it is some of the 12. Maybe it's part of the crowd, you know, the large crowd that's following him. But maybe it's some of the 12, I don't know. The disciples say to Jesus, oh, well, if the relationship between a man and a wife is like this, maybe it's better not to get married, am I right? And Jesus looks at these guys and goes, This is how I interpret what Jesus is saying. If that's how you feel, guys, you know what? Maybe you shouldn't get married. He says, some people are eunuchs for this reason and some for others. A eunuch is someone, sometimes the word is used literally as someone who has been castrated, therefore, you know, cannot procreate and what have you. The guys in the old days, you know, did this sometimes to servants to make sure that they weren't fooling around with anybody, and what have you. But Jesus says, but sometimes the phrase is used, you know, symbolically, not a literal eunuch, but someone who has sworn to celibacy. So Jesus says, some guys are born this way. This genetically, you just, you know, either you, you know, literally have issues there, or you just emotionally are born the kind of person that can always be single, and that's just that you were born that way. It's in your genes. He says some have been made that way by circumstance. He says some choose for the kingdom's sake to remain single, like Paul. But I imagine that, you know, with that attitude, well, gosh, if you can't get divorced, maybe it's better not to get married, which is what they're saying, right? Jesus just said, you know, this is what it's supposed to be like. You shouldn't be getting divorced, guys. And they go, oh, gosh, maybe you shouldn't even get married. Jesus says, yeah, maybe you shouldn't. You know, if you get onto a plane and you know, the pilot gets, you know, hello passengers, I'm just wondering, could the stewardess bring me a parachute? I'd like to have it nearby just in case. I'm not saying anything's wrong, but you guys might, if you have parachutes, you might want to hold on to them or keep one nearby. Thanks. You know, if a pilot opens up like that, just get right off the plane. Because you don't want to be on a plane with that guy. Because if you walk into a marriage asking, when is it cool to get divorced? Well, then, you know what? Yeah. Jesus says, yeah, you know what? Don't get married. Because that's not the way to walk into a marriage. If you are thinking of ways to get out, then it'll seem necessary to get out. You know, I've read stories about, like, crusaders. And, you know, they showed up on the shore. And when they got out, they are bent on destroying stuff. And the first thing they do when they get out is start destroying stuff. They get out of their boat, and the first thing they destroy is their boats. They're commanded to destroy their boats so that no one will ever think of turning back. Because if you think that you can fight, and when fighting doesn't look good, you can turn around, get back on the boat, and leave, you don't fight. You think about running. And the commander says, set the boats on fire, fellas, because there ain't no coming back. You are fighting all the way through. And if you go into marriage thinking about how you can get out, about ways of escape, and you are not going in with the right mindset, you go in, set fire to the boat behind you. The missionaries that packed up all their belongings in a coffin and left home, they went saying there's no coming back. Mm-hmm. You know.
It's coming back in that coffin.
Yeah. You know. Marriage is a fantastic and wonderful thing that God created. And there are times when things happen that hurt. And it's not God's it's not God's purpose. But God will get you through it. Whatever happens, God can get you through it. But encourage you, those who are married, those of you who are, you know, ever going to get married, we're eager.
It's a great sermon for next week.
Yep. You go into it with the right attitude. You've got to have the right attitude. Don't be looking for a parachute or a way out.
This is a good way to get
it.
That's right.